Good morning, everyone. Hope that you're doing well. And we sang a song which mentioned the heroes of faith, and we're looking at the heroes of faith from Hebrews 11. So just to recap, there are different witnesses of what faith actually means. And in Hebrews 11, the first witness is creation itself. When you see a beautiful sunset, when you're out there in the nature, when you're out there on the sea and you see how wonderful it is, it's a wonderful creation because of a wonderful creator. It follows on logically. And then we have different people from the Old Testament who've shown their faith in different ways. We have Abel, who showed his faith through bringing an offering that pleased God. We have Enoch, who walked with God. We have Noah, who was obedient, building an ark so that there might be salvation through faith. And then the last time I was speaking a couple of weeks ago, we started to look at Abraham and how God gave Abraham a promise that Abraham took in faith. And part of that promise was an instruction to leave the place where he was, to go to the place that God was showing him where to go to, that he would be guided, that he would be blessed, and most importantly, the whole world, every nation, was going to experience blessing through Abraham, through his faith. And then we saw how this blessing was going to be through the descendants of Abraham. But Abraham and Sarah, they didn't even have a child at that time. And when God told them, "You're going to have a son," they laughed. Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed, and when this baby was born, they gave him the name Laughter, Isaac. So that every time they would hold this baby, every time they would call him, "Hey, Laughter, come here," they would remember the laughter of the wonder of God's miracle in their lives. Isn't that wonderful that you can have miracles in your life, that you can laugh, and you think, "How could I not have believed God for that? Here is the evidence. Here's the baby. Here is the proof that God keeps his promises." Today, we are going to continue with Abraham. Now, there are some things, in fact, there are many things. God is bigger than our finite understanding. There's a mystery when it comes to the things of God. And today we're going to be looking at something that really is going into very deep places. So we definitely need to ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance now in prayer. Right. Yes, Lord God, we want to thank you for these heroes of faith who are an example to us. And I ask, Lord, that you strengthen our faith. Lord, we want to be able to walk with you. We want to be obedient to you, to know what it is, to be guided by you each step of the way, to see your miracles in our lives, that we might yet laugh at our own disbelief and unbelief. Lord, we want to thank you that you are a great God. And we ask you now, Lord, that you speak to us, and that you work in us, and that the blessing that was even promised to Abraham by faith, the blessing for the nations, that it would continue even through us as a small group here in Polis. For we ask these things in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're coming up then to this incident. And my mother passed away last year, but we often had discussions about faith. And this was one thing that she found really difficult. She said, "How can it possibly be that God, a loving God, would instruct Abraham to offer up his son, the son of promise, as an offering, as a sacrifice. And it's not an easy question to answer. But we're going to be looking at this morning. So first of all, let's read what it says in Hebrews about this incident. It's just three verses. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. It's a very challenging incident, and we want to rationalize it. We want to try and understand it, but there are some things that we just cannot really understand. God is bigger than that. And rather than trying to understand this, it's perhaps better to see what is being spoken to us through this incident. Because great and deep revelation was given to Abraham through this incident. And it's a revelation that perhaps we can also grasp, and that we can see something of what Abraham saw at that time. Now, some commentators, when they talk about this, well, it's so difficult, isn't it? There is this boy, the laughter that they had experienced, the hope of everything that was to come. The descendants of Abraham were through this boy Isaac. And God was saying to Abraham, take this boy with the hope, with the promises, and sacrifice him. Take a knife and kill this boy. Offer him up to me. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. God has said so many times in his word that he hates the child sacrifice of the nations around. In fact, he even gave over the land of Canaan to Israel because this was one of the disgusting and abominable things that the nations were doing. And yet here, God is telling Abraham to offer up his son. Some people say, well, God is God. Everything comes from God. And doesn't God have the right to give and to take? Well, yes, but do you feel in your heart that something's missing from that? That when God speaks to Abraham and says, take this son whom you love and offer him up to me, isn't it going deeper than just, oh, I've given you this son, I have a right to take him back? Our God is not quite like that, is he? There's something more special here. Other people might say, but God knew what he was going to do. He knew that Isaac wasn't going to die. But again, I don't think that really addresses what is going on here. There is a mystery here, but as I've said, there is much revelation as well. So, in fact, Jesus himself, it's recorded in John that he said, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. This experience that we are going to read about, this incident, revealed Jesus to Abraham in a powerful way. So Genesis 22 and 1 to 18. Let's have a look then at what the Bible says about this terrible incident. Let's not try and make it nice. Let's not try and make it something comfortable. It is a horribly uncomfortable incident. It upset my mother, and to a degree, it should upset us as well. But the Bible does that. The Bible is not a comfortable book. There are things in the Bible that challenge. There are things that are difficult to understand. There are things that are impossible to understand. But the Bible speaks. God speaks through his word, of course. So, I'll read from verse 1 to 18 from Genesis 22. If you have your Bibles with you, please read along. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham?" "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh. And to that day it said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Now, there's a lot that can be pointed out from this text. I mean, one of the things is just the readiness of Abraham. So God speaks to him, "Abraham, Abraham," and his immediate response is, "Here I am, I'm ready." His willingness to obey. to listen and to do what God has asked him. There is also the submission of Isaac. So there he is, going with his father, gradually realizing that something's wrong. Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Surely he gets to the point where he understands. Perhaps when his father is binding him to put on the altar, that he is to be reckoned the sacrifice. But the important thing for us here is to see what God is showing Abraham through this situation. The revelation that Abraham receives through his faithful obedience in this very dark situation. So let's have a look. I have five things that I believe that Abraham received. Abraham saw by faith through this incident. The first is that God's ways are not man's ways. Now that can result in some puzzle and confusion. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your walk with the Lord, that there have been times where you feel that God has been directing you in a specific direction, and yet it just hasn't worked out. It's as though, yes, God has said one thing, but it hasn't materialized in the way that you thought it. God spoke to Abraham and said, the blessing that I'm giving to you is through your son. Now go and offer up your son. What sense does that make? There is confusion there, because God's ways are not man's ways. God's ways are higher than man's ways. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has perceived the things that God has prepared for his people, for his children. So, Abraham here, I'm sure Abraham was in a quandary. Perhaps that's the best word to use in English. He believed God's promises, and yet he also believed that God had spoken to him, saying, Abraham, take this boy who you love, go to the region of Moriah. It's very specific, isn't it? Go to this specific place that I'm guiding you to and offer him up as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering. And as we are faithful, as we hear God and as we obey, there will be times of testing in our own lives as well. Now, the testing is difficult. Don't get away from that. Testing times are difficult times, but testing times are also times of blessing. Because there are times where faith is strengthened, and it's also a time where there is revelation and that we get to know more of God's heart during those times. All of us, in times coming up, we're going to face difficult times. There are going to be times of testing. But don't be afraid. Listen to what God is telling you in these times. Don't worry if you feel that there is a quandary, that things perhaps don't add up like you want them to. Like I said, for Abraham, it was difficult. It was like what God was saying didn't make sense. It didn't add up. But it was through that there was great revelation. As I said, the first revelation is that you just have to trust God. God's ways are higher than man's ways. Sometimes it becomes clear to us. So we go through a difficult time, we're confused. Our brain just doesn't take it. What is God doing at this time? But then we look back, perhaps after months or even after many years. See, that's what God was doing. I didn't know it at the time, but God had his hand on everything. God knew exactly what he was doing in my life. Amen. Now the second revelation, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. So Abraham is obedient. He gets as far as making an altar, binding his son on the wood of the altar, getting ready even to slay his son with the knife. And then the angel of the Lord says, basically, stop. Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Don't lay a hand on your son. God will provide. God will provide. Abraham was there with the knife ready. It was seconds away. It came so close to that situation. And in that instant, Abraham knew that God will provide. Abraham was willing to offer the ultimate offering. Abraham was a rich man. He would have offered all of his sheep, goats, animals that he had, rather than his son Isaac. He would probably, as an old man, have willingly offered up himself rather than Isaac, his laughter, the promise, the hope of everything that he had. But no, it was Isaac that he was asked to offer what was most precious to him. But it was at that point where he had surrendered everything. He had given all his hope. Everything that brought him joy and laughter in his life was in this boy. And he was willing to offer it all to God. But it was at that point that he knew God will provide. God will provide not just a ram in place of Isaac, but God will provide the ultimate offering for the world. For humanity, God will provide Jehovah Jireh. Perhaps some people, I mean, all of us have been in situations where we have needed something from the Lord. And it's very easy to say, oh, God will provide. Yes, it's true. But when Abraham said God will provide, he wasn't talking about God will provide me with a house to stay in, or God will provide me with a car to get around in, or God will provide me with this or that. He saw Jesus. Jesus said in John, as we read, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it. As he had the knife held, it was almost as though Abraham saw through 2,000 years into the future and saw something of Calvary, saw something of the cross, saw something of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging there as the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for the sin of mankind. God will provide. And Paul in Romans 8:32, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Abraham did not spare his son. The Father did not spare his son. And that is also a revelation that Abraham has. You see, there is Abraham, the father, with Isaac, his son. And they are walking together. And at that moment where he understands where there is the revelation that God will provide the ultimate sacrifice, he sees that there is a mirror image going on. The father, Abraham, the son, Isaac, the Father God, the Son Jesus. I think that this is the first time in the Bible that it's mentioned that there's an indication here that there is a Father-Son relationship in the Godhead. God is love, and love has to be between. There is love between the Father and the Son. And that was also a revelation that Abraham had, of course, because God specifically said to Abraham, take your son whom you love. That was important. Abraham loved his son, and it was going to be the hardest sacrifice. God the Father loves his son, the hardest sacrifice. Do you realize that there is suffering in the heart of God? That when Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was such suffering in the heart of the Son to be separated from the Father. And surely there must have been such suffering in the Father's heart for his Son. But Abraham understood that the sacrifice can be a sacrifice of substitution. The ram was killed instead of Isaac. Now, what is interesting is the place that Abraham was instructed to go, to the region of Moriah. And in 2 Chronicles 3, we actually read, then Solomon, King Solomon, began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. So the very place that Abraham was instructed to go to offer up his son Isaac was going to be the place where sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice was going to be offered in the temple that Solomon built. How many sacrifices were offered on Mount Moriah? Thousands over the years. But each one, each and every sacrifice was a substitute for the ultimate sacrifice that God the Father would make through giving us his son Jesus as a substitute. Because rightfully, you and I, we should have been there. We, because of our sin, should have been upon the altar. We should have been the ones bound. We should have been the ones facing death, an eternal death, because the wages of sin is death. But no, instead we have a substitute in Jesus Christ. Every single sheep, every single bull, every single ram, every single goat that was sacrificed there in the temple precincts was a substitute for Jesus. They all pointed to the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died in your place and in my place. And Abraham understood this. It's a revelation that sacrifice can be a substitute. A ram could die in place of his son. God's son can die in place of you and I. And finally, and wonderfully, now I emphasize that what Abraham was asked to do was irrational. The very son through whom the promises of God were going to be fulfilled was the one that he should offer up as a sacrifice? But Abraham did think it through, and Hebrews 11:19 also makes it very clear that he understood two things from what God had said. God had said that the nations were going to be blessed through his descendants, and his descendants would be reckoned through Isaac, his laughter. Okay, that's clear. God had said, take your son Isaac and offer him up as a sacrifice. And Abraham, in remarkable faith, put these two things together and understood, if Isaac dies, he has to be made alive again to be able to fulfill the promise that God has given me. So Abraham had a revelation of resurrection. He understood that this life is not the end, that our mortal bodies here, they haven't finished, that there is raising from death to life. And in a way, I think that Abraham, through that, because he also understood that God will provide the ultimate sacrifice, understood that our Lord Jesus Christ would be the first fruits of resurrection. That on the third day, after our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried, on the third day, he rose again to life, never more to die. And we have a hope. We have a hope. It's not so long ago that we buried Pastor David. But we bury him with the hope that he is alive. And there will be a resurrection. He will be raised again to life. Now, we don't know how God is going to do this. We don't even know what we're going to look like when we're going to be raised from the dead again. It's in God's hands. But by faith, even as Abraham, by faith, understood that if he offered Isaac, he would receive him back from the dead. He would receive him alive again to be able to fulfill the promises of God. We, by faith, know that we will be raised to life again, even after we die in Christ. Amen. Now, I don't know if when Paul wrote these verses to the Philippians that he was thinking about Abraham's situation and how he offered Isaac as an offering, as a sacrifice. But there are some things there that certainly remind me of this situation. And again, I want to say to you that when you experience trials and when you are faithful in the time of testing and in the difficult day, that there is revelation, that God's heart is opened up. You get to know God better. Abraham was known as the friend of God because he knew God. He didn't know about God. That's theology. He knew God. That's relationship. And as Christians, we don't need to know so much about God. We need to know God. We need to have that personal relationship with God. And going through difficulties and responding by faith helps us. God reveals more of his heart to us through those times. So Paul wrote, "What is more, I consider everything a loss, even as when Abraham was going to lose Isaac." Paul was thinking about his own privileges as a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, of all the education he had received as a Jewish leader. He said, "I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." So maybe in the time of trial and testing, you have to give up something, even as Abraham was prepared to give up his son Isaac. Sometimes it is a case that we have to surrender, we have to give up. "I consider them garbage, rubbish, that I may gain Christ See, when you have Jesus, you have everything. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but, and of course, it says in Genesis, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. I want to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection, even as Abraham received Isaac back, and participation in his sufferings. See, I'm afraid when we go through difficulties, it is a case of suffering. But again, suffering is part of the heart of God. Suffering there, the passion of Christ. There is suffering there. Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So, to summarize, this incident with Abraham and Isaac, I can't say I really understand it with my brain, but I feel it in my heart. It reveals something of God to us, as it does to Abraham. It reveals to us that God's ways are not like our ways. God's ways are so much higher. It reveals to us that there is a substitute sacrifice. It reveals to us that God is Father, Son, and indeed Holy Spirit, of course. It reveals to us that there is resurrection. And it reveals to us that, yeah, God is a loving Father. He loved his Son, and through Jesus Christ we are adopted into his family, and the Father's heart of love is as much for you and for me now in Jesus as it could ever be. Amen. Amen.